Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Munchcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is Munchcast with Cammy Blackstone and Leo Laporte, episode 17 for January 13th, 2008. Mann, ist der Dickmann! This show and the entire TWiT Broadcast Network is brought to you by donations from listeners like you. Thanks. It's time for Munchcast, everybody's favorite podcast about food. Cammy Blackstone, hello.
Hello.
Do you want to know what they eat in Egypt?
I do, because this is a little bit of an international Munchcast this time.
Well, I was wondering myself, what would Egyptian cuisine be? And of course, the first few days, we were staying at, you know, Hilton's, basically. So Egyptian cuisine turned out to be steak and fries and stuff. I mean, normal food.
They just wanted you to feel at home.
Then they started to give. So it's actually, in fact, it's a fairly, it's delicious. It's stuff you've eaten. It's hummus, pita, baba ganoush, all the Middle Eastern foods.
Oh. What about like their junk food? Like when they really want to splurge.
Oh,
like
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh, yeah. They've got Burger King, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken. And in Cairo, in the big city, all of the fast food places deliver by motorbike, moped. They'll come over. They'll bring you anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine that. I mean, that must be hard for them to do pizzas, I would think.
There is a pizza place, but I think it caters mostly to Westerners. I don't think there's a big market for pizza in Egypt among the Egyptians.
They ought to take a look at Zanti's Pizza, which we covered in our pizza episode.
Do they have Egyptian pizza?
Oh, but they have, it's like a Middle Eastern pizza.
Oh.
And it's incredible. It has cauliflower and eggplant and...
They have beautiful cauliflowers in Egypt. In fact, we drove
like tandoori.
By... Yeah. Well, tandoori is Indian.
Right, but it's like an Indian sort of like Middle Eastern sort of combo.
The traditional Egyptian meal begins... What is that word? I can't remember. There's a word for it, but it's with salads, you know, the tabbouleh and the pita bread and the hummus. And they said, don't fill up on that. It could be a meal and you could eat all, but don't fill up. You know, you get the, what do they put in the falafels? It's just delicious, really delicious. But you could fill up on that. And that's just the hors d'oeuvres. And then grilled meats.
Well, they bring out the lamb and stuff?
Lamb, a lot of lamb, calf, liver, sausages, mostly lamb, spiced sausages.
Leo, your wife's vegetarian, isn't she?
No. Nobody in my family's a vegetarian.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought Jennifer was vegetarian.
But, you know, this is a great land to be a vegetarian in because you could really fill up on the vegetarian starter. We had one person in our group, however, who had an allergy to sesame and nuts, and that was kind of a problem.
I think so.
Pretty much nothing she could eat because everything's got sesame in it. They love their sesame.
Yeah,
the thing that you would have enjoyed. The Egyptians love their sweets.
Mm.
In fact, they raise sugar cane, so there's plenty of sugar all around. And so there was always a vast array of desserts and good.
Mm.
You know, that's the land of baklava.
I was going to say, there's a lot of honey and nuts and that sort of thing.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got honey. But the traditional Egyptian meal, and again, I don't remember the name for it. I should have written all this down. I forgot I'd do a show about this. Is a bread pudding that is to die for.
Does it have raisins in it? A lot of raisins?
Sometimes it has raisins and almonds in it. Sometimes not. You've had it then. It's a Middle Eastern bread pudding, I guess.
Oh, yum.
It is
well,
so delicious.
Now I want to sing a little rousing chorus of snack like an Egyptian.
You know, I'm so mad at myself because I don't know. I played that song just as I, on the last day of my radio show as I'm about to leave, and I could not get it out of my head for 2 weeks. I'm looking at the most
pesky bangles.
I'm in the most amazing, most beautiful temple, the Temple of Karnak, an incredible feat made.
Karnak?
Karnak.
Karnak?
Karnak the Magnificent. Built 4,000 years ago. And I'm humming, walk like an Egyptian. I'm trying to get that out of my head.
Well, at least you didn't bust out with a big, rousing chorus of King Tut.
No, I didn't. I did see King Tut, though.
Was this condo made of stone?
Yeah.
And thanks to Steve Martin for that.
Yeah. It's funny. I can't help but, you know, it's in my head. And King Tut.
Well, the thing is, those are two incredibly catchy little, well, they call them earworms, songs that just get in your head and you can't get out.
Now, was it you who told me the way to get rid of those?
You have to sing Happy Birthday out loud?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I heard you're supposed to sing Happy Birthday
out
loud.
Don't do that because it will owe AOL Time Warner royalties.
They own Happy Birthday?
Yeah, they bought it from the sisters.
They did?
Well, or the sisters' publishing rights, you know, got sold, whatever it is. But the weird thing is that you still have to pay royalties on it, even though the song is ancient.
It's not like public domain by now.
No. That's why often when you see a movie, I always think this is cheesy. They'll do for He's a Jolly Good Fellow instead of Happy Birthday.
Does that have anything to do with the fact that whenever someone gets a present on TV, it's not wrapped? It's just like the top comes off?
No, I think that's another thing entirely.
Okay. That's just another part of the birthday mystery. Okay. I am sorry that we don't have any catchy little tunes about Norway.
Well, wait a minute. Now, I think somebody was going to get us the Norwegian national anthem.
Do we have a Norwegian song?
Mike, where's my Norwegian national anthem? I thought he was working on that. I have my crack staff, but apparently they're on crack today.
Well, maybe
for us.
We can do the Blondie song one way or another. Only we'll sing Norway
or another.
Is delicious or something? Because I want to thank Vic Philipson, who's been a great MunchCast supporter, who sent yet another bushel basket of Norwegian goodies and also some snacks from Germany. And
here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the Norwegian national anthem. You must rise. This mosh moment brought to you by Norway. Land of fjords, the midnight sun.
And skippers.
And skippers. This snack treat that looks just like lutefisk.
It does, actually. How did you know?
From the name, skippers.
Yes, and I have to find, it does look like a little tiny thing. It's a licorice shaped like a boat, actually.
It's a licorice. Wait a minute now. I've got to absorb this. Because this licorice. Is. Don't you know that your mind can work down very quickly down well-known pathways. But when it's something like that, your mind has to take a moment and it's actually right now forging new neuronal connections that allow licorice and boat to coexist.
Wow. So my mind is expanding as my butt is because I'm eating so much of this stuff. Okay, these are they're licorices. They're really good.
Your mind
and they're shaped
and
like little boats. Skippers.
Skippers. Little boat licorices.
Skippers. There's like a big picture of the Titanic on the front.
And it's black licorice or red licorice?
It's black licorice. Mikey Lacrosse Butter.
See, they're smart enough to know that there is no such thing as red licorice.
Yeah, you're right.
Where'd you go?
Sorry, I had to get another thing out of Vic Philipson's box.
Thank you, Vic.
Yeah, again, he sent another box of stuff and I'm eating it all before you even get to look at it. The other great one is called Salt Sild. And this is another little candy and it's salty licorice in the shape of herrings.
Wait a minute. Again, more neuronal pathways are being forged. Salty licorice.
Salty black licorice.
In the shape of herring.
Yeah.
What does salty licorice taste like?
Well, let's try. Let's see here. Again, thank you, Vic Philipson. Well, they are in the shape of herrings, which is kind of weird because it's not like an attractive candy. You know, it looks like little fish.
Well, how detailed is it? I mean, if it's just...
Oh God. Oh, really salty.
That sounds awful.
I don't know if I could... Salt and licorice are maybe two flavors. I don't think go well together.
No. Okay, let me unprogram those neurons.
You know, it tastes a little bit like if you ate Good and Plenty and Fritos at the same time.
Oh, no. See, sweet and salty are good, but licorice and salty, I don't know.
Because licorice is a spice all its own. It's not even in the sweet realm, almost, you know?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'll tell you, you want spices, go to Egypt. So there's a picture on my website. of a guy. We went to a Nubian village, and he was selling spices. And what it's great, they crush them in your hand, and you smell them. And they were selling anise, and it's beautiful. But they had all these different spices, and indigo, and oh my gosh, it was great. So anise, which is a licorice flavor, I like. Is licorice and anise, that's the same thing, right?
I think so, yes. And isn't that also what they make absinthe out of?
I believe, and I may be wrong, but if you'd like, you can join us. We're going to have on Tuesday night an absinthe party at Macworld Expo.
Oh, because they now make it again legally.
It's legal again. I know somebody who makes it in San Francisco, and he's going to be providing the absinthe. But I believe that there is an anise flavor in absinthe, but I think that anise liqueurs like Pernod were designed to replace absinthe. Absinthe has wormwood and other flavors in it as well.
And it makes you cut your ear off.
Right. And that, I guess, that's why they banned it, probably.
There's a great store in San Francisco, very near City Hall, where I work, called Miette. And it's a candy store. And it's not like as fantastic as Powell's. Like, it doesn't have like everything, but they do have select very unusual things. And I'm holding right now an absinthe lollipop.
Ooh. Now I'm looking on Wikipedia, and they say anise is the flowering plant of the family Apiaceae, native to the Mediterranean region in Southwest Asia. It's herbaceous annual plant growing to 1 meter tall. Is that 1 meter tall?
What?
The thing you're eating?
The thing I'm eating? No, the fish? The salt silt?
No.
No, not at all. Mm-mm. It's like a little tiny. It's like as big as like, your thumb, say. But you know what? Vic Phillipson, as much as I appreciate the gigantic box of Norwegian goodies you sent, I don't think you need to send any more salt silts. Not into it.
Not anymore. No. What else you got? Anything else good in there?
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here is a gigantic... It's called a Firklover.
Oh, I love Firklovers. I'm a Firklover.
It's a Firklover?
I don't know what it is.
A Melchicolade Med Hasselnutter, which
Look
is...
At, please. People are going, she's butchering the Norwegian.
I know. I should stop. Anyway, it's a delicious chocolate hazelnut concoction, which is really so great. I love hazelnuts. And I don't know why American candy hasn't grasped onto the hazelnut craze the way European candies have.
Well, they've got Nutella in Europe, which is basically a chocolate hazelnut spread for your bread.
Mm.
I love it.
So, so good.
In fact, they put hazelnut in everything.
I know. It's delicious. It's fantastic. And I think that we need more of it. So go ahead, Vic Phillipson, if you want to send more Norwegian stuff, more hazelnut stuff. Now, the one thing that was really astonishing, now this, I believe, is German. It's called a super dick man.
Well, that surprised me. Maybe that's 1 meter long. What is that?
Well, they look like little chocolate fezes. And it's kind of like...
I brought a fez back from Egypt, by the way.
A real one?
Oh, yeah.
Well, aren't real fezes are from Morocco, right?
Well, the fez is the traditional hat of anyone in the Ottoman Empire.
Oh.
And Egypt was part of the Ottoman Empire. So it's interesting because almost everybody in Egypt will wear the galabeya, which is the kind of the long, it's a muumuu, frankly.
Oh.
But they have different headdresses, and you can tell where the person's from, even what town or region, depending on how they twist or turn the headdress. But there are many different kinds of headdresses. Many of the guys are wearing a galabeya and a fez. But you should see, I have video, and I'll show you at some point, some video of the fez machine.
You went to a fez maker?
No, there was a guy right outside one of the temples who had a fez press.
Fez millinery?
Fez lorraine. It's the strangest thing. He spins, it goes, spins down, and it makes a fez.
How?
It was pretty cool. He actually does it to order.
So I
a custom made fez. And you
That's
could get
awesome.
And it was like cost $4. But you
Man.
Could that was the expensive one. That's the crushable fez. You can also get the non folding fez for $2.
What am I doing here? I need a fez.
I should have brought you a fez. I'm so sorry.
Well, instead I'll have to put a super dick man on my head. This is a super grub mitt knock. Okay, I see. Now I'm going to butcher the German language, but whatever. It's kind of like...
It looks like a fez.
Looks like a fez. It's kind of ding-dong-ish at the bottom, like a Hostess ding-dong or, you know, Suzy Q sort of chocolate cake.
Does it look in any way phallic?
No, I don't know why they call it the Super Dick Man. It's brought to you by Stork. That's the name of the company.
Oh, Stork, I know. Stork is a very well, big company.
Yeah, so I mean they're tasty and filled with a creamy filling and chocolate covered, but yeah, I guess it actually Vic had said in his letter that it was called something really politically incorrect when he was growing up. So I'm not even going to go there.
Worse than that?
Worse than that, if you can imagine. But since it's a family show here at Munchcast, we'll just not go there. But we will go back to Norway for a moment because I've never did make this the great thing that I was going to make at Christmas. Totally forgot. And a couple of people sent it to me. It's Romegrøt, which is basically just a big dish of sour cream with melted butter, sugar, and cinnamon. It's Norwegian Christmas pudding. You put 2 pints of sour cream, flour, and milk, and butter. Does that sound delicious?
I'm trying to, again, neurons. It may be because I'm on like 8 gallons of cold medicine that I actually can feel the neurons forming. Say this recipe again.
It's Romegrøt, Norwegian Christmas pudding.
Romegrøt. And
really, really fattening and not for the lactose.
Sour cream.
It's 2 pints of sour cream, preferably the richest with the highest fat content.
Of course, nothing less.
And then 12 tablespoons of flour.
That's the thing I don't get. 12 tablespoons of flour.
I know. Why don't they just say a cup?
Yeah, a cup would be so much easier.
Because right. I would lose count about, you know, 6.
Yeah, that's about how much Super Dick Man you've had.
Exactly. And then you just boil it away, and it comes out like this hot, custardy thing.
So it's flour and sour cream is it. There's no flavoring or anything.
There's butter and milk, and then you flavor it with cinnamon and sugar.
It's a white thing.
It's white. Okay, you're not into that? Are you not into that? Is that the deal?
I don't like white food.
Okay, you will like this. And this is something, somebody sent me this a long time ago, Leo. I'm going to right now send you the link because you're going to, I've showed you this before. Once I can figure this out. This was sent to us by someone from Quebec, one of your Canadian fans. And this is just the most unbelievable creation I've ever come across.
Right, it's I'm clicking the link right now.
Okay, it's from the Black Widow Bakery.
Oh, this is disgusting.
It's a meat cake. It's not disgusting.
Is it made out of meat?
No. It's a meatloaf cake with ketchup filling, frosted with mashed potato.
So it looks like a cake.
But it's meatloaf.
So it's actually mashed potato frosting looks like frosting. And so the red is not icing, that's ketchup?
Yes, it is.
And when you serve it up, you know, that's kind of intriguing.
It is. And if you look at the layers as they slice it, it looks like you want to expect it to be like a ginger cake with some kind of orangey marmalade frosting.
This show is filled with cognitive dissonance. That's all I want to say. Put the day that I'm on NyQuil to do this to me.
Another Super Dickman, and you'll be just fine.
I just swallowed one.
Just fine.
Mm, save some of that Super Dickman for me.
I will. Well, actually, they're kind of crunched up. I don't know what exactly happened. Yeah. The Super Dickmans are fragile. It's a fragile treat, and it didn't actually make it all the way here in one piece
from Germany.
Yeah.
So she's Germany. Got this is blackwidowbakery.com. She's actually got. It's not merely a picture of. She's got a recipe how to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you never know when you'll be making somebody a birthday cake and they're not like that into sweets. Like, for instance, my husband's not that into sweets.
I'd much rather have a meatloaf cake than a cake.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's lovely. The one that the frosting decor that she did was so beautiful. I mean, it looks like a big T-bone or something.
What's funny is you actually cook the meat in layer cake pans so you can actually get layers out of them. Meat, though, doesn't rise the same way dough rises.
No, but I mean, it doesn't seem to be a problem. It still looks great.
She's trimmed it a little bit, maybe, or I don't know. Wow.
All you can do is just try it at home and see what happens. All right, I'm trying to find this other thing for you right now.
She must be a baker.
The Black Widow Bakery? Oh, yeah.
So she knows how to do all this stuff. She also has a link at the bottom of her page to the Meat Cake Gallery. So is it not? Well, it's not just meatloaf. There's a Halloween pumpkin meat cake, and there's all kinds of meat cake.
There's a lot of people who would prefer meat over regular cake. Ooh. And there's many options for you there at the Black Widow Bakery.
Yum, yum. Somebody should start a business doing this.
Now, have you ever heard of Max Brenner's?
No, what's that?
It's a restaurant on the East Coast, and a couple of people have sent me links to their page. If you go to maxbrenner.com.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, everything on their menu just about has chocolate on it.
Even like the entrees?
I guess. That's what they're telling me. And so I thought we could check it out together.
Okay. It says, chocolate is not just about taste. It portrays contradictory aspects of our lives. These aspects are the foundations of the new Max Brenner chocolate culture. Oh, boy.
Okay. I'm looking right now at the kids menu, and it's kind of... Okay, the food doesn't have it. Like the sunny side up egg has no ketchup. The happy pizza toast has no ketchup. However, the melting marshmallow crepe with gummy bears from the sweet forest, milk chocolate canyon chunks, and a mountain of vanilla ice cream does. And they do have a chocolate pizza.
You said
and they
ketchup. Do... You mean chocolate?
Did I say ketchup?
Yeah. Okay.
They have chocolate pizza. They have yummy, nummy, whoopy doopy chocolate bagel with peanut butter and praline.
Whoopy doopy. Wow, they're in Union Square, New York.
It's definitely a place we've got to try.
It's another one
we've got to, you know.
Appetizers,
it's another road trip.
Mediterranean platter.
Well, but there's no chocolate
in it. No, hummus and olive oil, baba ganoush.
What are they talking about? She told me the one said that they had chocolate in every dish.
Well, it's not true. The chicken paella has no chocolate. I think we've been misled.
Well, maybe somebody can call us and, you know, or email us. Here we go.
But I think they're doing some...
They've got chocolate cocktails, chocolate martinis.
They do have chocolate cocktails. I saw that.
Classic chocolate truffle
martini. So maybe they're just doing a chocolate...
Brazilian oak martini.
They're doing a chocolate thing.
Sergeant Peppermint chocolate martini. Falling in Love martini, which is white chocolate cream, passion fruit, orange juice, and Bacardi cocoa.
It's funny. They're in Australia, too. In fact, they come from Australia.
I have got to say, we have had more mail from Australia. There's something else. It sounds like it may be kind of like the Super Dick Man called a Tim Tam.
Tim Tam.
Have you ever had one of those?
No, what's that?
Yeah, from Australia. A couple of people have written to me about it, and I get the idea that it must be something like the Super Dick Man, where it's like a chocolate creamy filling sort of thing.
Tim Tams are a chocolate biscuit made by Arnott's Biscuits Australia. A Tim Tam is composed of two layers of chocolate malted biscuit separated by a light chocolate cream filling and coated in a thin layer of textured chocolate. It's a lot of chocolate.
It's chocolate.
They sell 35 million packs of them every year.
It's a big deal in Australia.
Tim Tams.
So now we need some of our Aussie people to send us a Tim Tam.
No kidding.
Never
Especially since they took the name from America. It's the 1958 Kentucky Derby winner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ross Arnott, who was the founder of Arnott's, was at the Kentucky Derby in 58, decided the name of the winning horse, Tim Tam, was perfect for a planned new line of biscuits.
Well, then we are owed our own Tim Tam.
Yes.
And you know what? If somebody sends them to me, Leo, I promise I'll save some for you this time.
Go to munchcast.com and then do something.
Do something. You'll see. You just send like a little link to us. Now, the other thing is, I know that you've been all over this great country of ours and all over the world now, and even to Egypt.
Yes.
Have you ever at an A&W come across deep fried cheese curds?
Well, cheese curds are a staple in Canada where they're used in the national dish poutine, which is French fries with cheese curds and gravy. But I've never heard of deep fat frying them.
Well, that's apparently what some A&Ws do, according to Munchcast listeners. Now, this guy, Eric, never told me where you can get them.
It's
got to
be in the Southeast, because they deep fry everything in the Southeast.
You know what we should do is let's see what an A&W menu. I don't know.
That's probably an off-the-menu item.
Really?
Yeah, you'd probably have to go to A&W and kind of give them a wink and say, I'd like the
cheese curds.
Cheese curds deep fried.
Well, if it is a Canadian thing, you know, I'm going to have to go with you sometime to Canada, because... there are so many Canadian listeners who've been sending me stuff. Like when we did the chip episode, Chris and Trina sent us a note saying, I can't believe Leo said he made kind of fun of pickles flavored chips, because in Canada, we love dill pickle chips.
I know.
And then we dip it in French onion dip.
I thought it was bad until I went to Egypt and had meat flavored chips.
Did you?
They had, it was the, these were the worst. You opened them and the entire bus started smelling like somebody was eating cat food. These, oh. They had shish kebab flavored chips. They had chicken chips. Not a good idea.
Well, I can kind of see how that would.
Maybe they could have been good. They weren't.
They weren't good. Because I'm just thinking like how they have bacon flavored, you know, stuff.
The principle isn't wrong. Execution, F minus.
The idea was good.
Yeah. It's like this is, I don't know where they got the essence of meat that they put in this stuff. Wasn't good.
Mm. Well, you know, maybe just go back to the drawing board. Now, I also want to thank the people from madeincalifornia.net because they know our bacon fascination. I forgot to include this on our bacon episode, but they've sent me a whole bunch of different things they have that have bacon. They have smoky barbecue sauce flavored with real bacon. They have bacon flavored spaghetti sauce and a bunch of other stuff. And if you want to check them out, it's madeincalifornia.net.
I'm proud to know that that's made in California.
Where all the best stuff is, except Tim Tams and Salt Silds.
And what was the other one? Dick's?
Oh, Super Dick Man.
Super Dick Man's.
I wish I could speak German because I'm dying to tell you what else it says on here, but it all sounds profane to me when I try to read it.
Is it all one word, Super Dick Man? Because, well, here's the problem. When you do a Google search for something called Super Dick Man, you don't get what you don't get treats.
No, and sooner or later, someone's going to ask for your computer and you'll be in big trouble.
Yeah, you don't get treats.
No.
For Heisen, wait a minute. Here's something German.
What? Maybe what stork? Like because
oh, there you know, go. Is it all one word, Super Dick Man?
It's, no, it's as if there were regular Dick Mans and then Super Dick Mans. Super is one word, then Dick Man is another word.
Wow.
By stork, S-T-O-R-C-K.
Yeah. You see, the problem really is that you just can't search the internet for some things. Super. Oh, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Now, Dickman has two N's. He's not Dickman. It's Dickman.
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 Yeah.
Dickman's.
Okay. See, well, it was
You've been misleading me. It's Dickman.
No, because in my phonics training, two consonants following a vowel makes it a short vowel.
Okay, you're right. And by the way, there is a mini Dickman.
Oh, who's going to order that?
Since 1985, Super Dickman's has been the biggest among the chocolate foam kisses. I didn't know there was a competition among the chocolate foam kisses.
Well, now you do. Yet another thing we've learned on Munchcast.
Who doesn't? I'm reading this is from the Stork website. Who doesn't know the slogan, man, they are Dickman? Under this motto, Super Dickman's from Stork quickly became Germany's most popular chocolate foam kiss. Mini Dickmans was then introduced in 1990. These products are also enjoyed by people in some neighboring European countries.
Well,
in 1997, Coco Cabana added a hint of Caribbean flair for Germany.
That's nice.
Since the launch of sugar-free Dickmans in September, you have been able to enjoy the light foam kisses with 30% less calories.
Well, you know, I don't think we're going to enjoy these because I'm just now reading on the side that these are, there's a date, which I'm assuming means we should eat them by October 7th, 2007.
Too late to eat the Dickman.
But these Dickmans are too old.
The old Dickmans.
Master Prime.
They're ho-hos.
They're kind of ho-ho-ish, but they're kind of, like Suzy Q-ish, too, if I were to compare to a Hostess product.
But I love the slogan, man, they are Dickman. That's the slogan.
And that's our slogan today.
Man, they are Dickman.
All right, Leo, I'm going to let you go rest your lungs.
Who doesn't know that slogan? Me? I don't know. Never heard it.
Now you do.
Actually, it looks like you in the back row there are eating Dickmans.
It probably is.
Stork.com. I got to see this in German. Do you think that the slogan is man, they are Dickmans in English?
Well, that is English. Didn't you just say it in English?
Yeah, but I was reading the English page. Let's go to the Dickman. No, it's all in German. I can't figure it out. Do you think I should go to Die große Toffee Familien Trophy? Or New Lübingen Sorten von Mercy Petits? Well, they make Werther's. All right, we got to run.
Alrighty.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a version of Munchcast brought to you by the letter C for cigarettes. And we thank you for joining us. So, Cammy, you're going to come out to Mac World Expo, be part of our big event there.
Sorry, my dick man thing was going off.
What, yeah, you have a dick man alarm?
I was looking at the page and it started making all kinds of noise.
Oh, wow.
Did yours?
No, you have the dancing dick man page.
Dancing dick man. Wait a second.
That's very interesting. Go to the original dick man's home page. Wait a minute. You're going to dickman.de. Yeah, let's all listen to that. Thank you, Cammy. We'll talk to you later. That's the slogan. Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Got the same person, same
man ist der Dickmann. That's the worst. All right, Cammy, we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
We're on Muchcast.
Yeah.